الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وكان الإنسان عجولا. وفي آية: خلق الإنسان من عجل. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الأناة من الله والعجلة من الشيطان. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, beloved brothers, indeed it is the great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has blessed our country with many, many ulama ikram, many, many religious institutions, and many, many dini activities take place here, there and everywhere, in different forms, in the form of jamaat, in the form of majlis, in the form of ulama ikram giving bayans, etc. This is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. At the outset, what we should do is we should rectify our intentions. If our intention is to make our islah and our rectitude and reformation, then inshallah sometimes one bayan is sufficient. And if this is not our intention, then we find bayan upon bayan, majlis upon majlis, but we find no difference thereafter. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me also tawfiq to make this intention that every bayan that we hear, every majlis is an islahi majlis. It's there for our islah, for our reformation, how we can reform ourselves and better ourselves. That's why in one hadith, one sahabi asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for advice. He tells him, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give me advice, but let it be very brief. Brief, why? Because he wants to make amal on it. Today, if you give advice like that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah used to mention, that advice was only for 9 seconds. But it comprised of the entire deen. Today, if you give somebody advice for 9 seconds, they will say, what's happening? Bayan must be 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And the strange part is, the person goes to a bayan for 2 hours, goes to Masjid al-Hilal, for example, and you ask him, Bhai, what was the bayan about? He says, Iman and Yaqeen. He sums it up in 2 words. Comes to Ijlai Majlis, what was the bayan about? About Islah. So what did you learn? What did you take from there? What did you implement in your life to change your life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me an all of us tawfiq. I mentioned a hadith before you where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-anatu min Allah. Composure and to do things after pondering and considering is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal-ajalatu min ash-shaytan. And to do things very hastily and very hurriedly without consideration is from shaitan. So we notice in our life there are many occasions where we have to make decisions, then we should ponder and consider and think and reflect whether this will be good for me in my dunya, in my akhirah, etc. This will be from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-anatu, to be composed and to ponder and to reflect and to deeply think before you make a decision or when you're carrying out an action. And when ajalatu min shaitan, sometimes a person makes a decision without reflecting, without thinking, without considering, without weighing the pros and cons, without thinking about the consequences, and he lands himself into disaster and taklif and parishani. That decision may be his business, maybe marriage, maybe something else, whatever it is. So this usul is mentioned here that we should not hasten, we should not be hasty and hurriedly making our decisions, etc. But we should show due consideration and ponder over the matter. Hatim Asim Rahimullah was a great buzurg of his time. He mentions that Al-ajalatu min ash-shaytan illa fi khamsatin. To hasten is from shaitan, except in 5 things. فَإِنَّهَا مِن سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. These 5 things are such that we should hasten. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Alhamdulillah, there are many sunnahs we brought alive in our lives. But if you remember that the sunnahs of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم are not restricted to salat or zakat or hajj, etc. They are across the board. Every action of our life should be according to the sunnah, should conform to the sunnah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And you will understand here the diversity. When Hatim Asim Rahimullah mentions the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentions various different things which we need to rectify. If you look into contextualize what we are saying, you will see that there is great reformation that is required. The first thing that he mentions is it'amut ta'am, feeding people. When you feed people, you should hasten, you should do it fast. There should not be undue delay in doing so. Whether that person you're feeding is a poor person and came to your door, whether the person you are invited to the house, whether it is part of your family, or whether it is what we find today, the functions that we have. And this is the point I would like to highlight. The functions that we have today, whether it is the walima, whether it is the jalsa, mostly in the walimas, etc. When a person goes to that function, he's invited after zuhar for the function. Very commonly, go to after zuhar, you're not sure whether the function is after zuhar or after asr, there's only a handful of people. Then, when the function begins, it begins not with a feeding, but begins with the jalsa. Begins with the jalsa because somebody comes, recites the qirat. After the qirat, there's a nazam that takes place. Thereafter, before that, sometimes somebody comes and welcomes somebody. And this has become the norm. Any nikah or any walima that takes place, these things must be there. If they are not there, then it's not a walima. Then it's not a right function. Then, Mawlana Sahib will give a bayan. After the bayan, we'll have a dua. Thereafter, after the dua, sometimes after 2 hours, from the promised time, sometimes after an hour, sometimes after 3 hours, after the promised time, the food is being dished out. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم tells us in the hadith, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ديفه. Person that believes in Allah in the last day, let him show honor to his guests. And honoring the guest is, when he comes, you call him for meals, serve the meals. In our days of our grandfathers, there never were jalsa that were held in the hall. And if you look at the setup there, completely against the spirit of our deen. People are sitting, hungry people are sitting facing the table. And some of their backs are facing the mulana at the back. And those hungry people got something for them to go buy, little bit of chevra. Before it used to be the salads, only now the chevra is there also, the salads is there, the papar is there. Somebody is looking at the child, is taking something from the salad, somebody from the papar, etc. The mawana is giving his bayan. People are looking at their watches. People are looking at the watches, they're looking at the door sometime because they're waiting for the honored guest to come in, whether it is the bridegroom's party or the bride's party, Allah knows best. People are waiting. They're not listening to the bayan. And the mawana sahib is told to give the bayan, not because of the bayan. Because the moment somebody steps in the hall, they say, mawana sahib, let's take you now, it's okay, the man is here, you don't have to give the bayan. Now this is disrespect in the Quran and Hadith. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to give lectures, I think, every Thursday. And they told him, oh Abdullah, you rather give us lectures every day. He says, no. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yutakhawwaluna. Takhawwaluna means you should take into consideration the time, the mawqa, the occasion, before he should give us any advices. Karahiyat as-samat alayna. Being afraid because of the fear that we mustn't become bored. If we overburden people with something all the time, they become bored. Now this is who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's speaking regarding who? The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had due consideration of the time, of the occasion, etc. أَفَنُلْزِمَكُمُهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِهُونَ. Must we impose it upon you and you do not want to listen to it? No. This is not the way and style. And this has become the norm, as I mentioned. You go to every second, third function, this is the style. The jalsa is taking place. And I spoke this in my masjid, one person came out with the bitter memories that, Mawana, I sat in the hall for 2 hours. I had no cell phone to contact my wife. I said, man, I called for my wife and told her that we can't sit here 2 hours for a plate of food. He went away with the bitter memories. Now he's even gone to the qabr on that nice, sweet occasion of your walima. This is what he went with. And so many other people like that. Some people are patients, diabetic. They take the injection or they take the medication. They're waiting for the food. The food is not served. And after the long jalsa, the food is served. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this is contrary to the sunnah. For yukrim dayfahu, he must make ikram of his mehman. And ikram is to serve him the food when he comes. So we should rectify this. If some of us have occasions, ensure that we serve the food at the time when we promise to feed it. Imagine that person was sitting there in the house, in his house, completely at peace and at ease. We called him out of his house. We called him the staklif. And sometimes it takes 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes even longer to feed him that food. So Hatim Tai mentions that there are 5 things that are sunnah to do, to hasten with. One is to feed your guests, to feed people. The second thing he mentioned is tajheezul mayyit. When somebody passes away, then you should hasten to prepare for that person's burial. Hasten to prepare for that person's burial. 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, what happened? Waiting for somebody from Johannesburg. When last did that person from Johannesburg, sometimes in some instances, contact this person? Hardly on a contact. For the last 2 years, he did not phone him. Now we've got 500 people waiting here, and they are waiting for who? That one person, single person to come from Johannesburg. Our deen is so beautiful. person passes away in America today, where a person, a student, puts himself student, our student, passed away in America. A young boy, inshallah, we make dua for him here, Isari Sawab, it reaches him right there. He's gone under the, in the grave 6 feet, it'll reach him right there. This is so beautiful our deen is. From wherever we are, how much Isari Sawab do we make for those people that are deceased? Those of our relatives? No, they're waiting for a person to come from Johannesburg. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, أَسْرِعُوا بِالْجَنَازَةِ فَإِنْ تَكُوا خَيْرًا فَخَيْرًا تُقَدِّمُونَهَا إِلَيْهِ. Hasten with the janaza. If that person is a good person, you are taking him to some good place now. That place is waiting for him in the akhirat. The jannat is waiting for him in the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala has prepared for him in the qabr those things that no eye has seen, waiting for him. So you will be taking him, hastening him to go there. And وَإِنْ تَكُوا سِوَا ذَلِكَ, if he's not a good person, فَشَرٌ تَدَعُونَهُ عَنْ رِخَابِكُمْ, then it is evil that will take off from your necks and from your shoulders, if you take quickly. What is the business of keeping him so long? The time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some janazas that had taken place at night, and they had buried that person. In the morning, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam inquired or asked after a few days, asked, where is this person? Buried him, he passed away last night, we buried him last night. We're not going to give you the inconvenience, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is dark, etc. Because the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had wilayat of all, he went up to the qabr and he made the janaza namaz day. So no wasting time. The person has passed away, his time is up, take him to the qabr. And it comes in one riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that when the janaza is put and is picked up, then the janaza speaks, qaddimuni, qaddimuni. If he's a good person, pious person, take me forth. Take me forth to my grave. And if he's not a pious person, Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam save us, and he says, ya waylaha, ayna yadhabuna bihi. Hi, destruction upon me, where are they taking me? So even the janaza is speaking when you put it on to hasten and take me to the qabr. And thereafter the difficulty on the people of the house, difficulty on the people that have to wait, that are close related, from the morning the person passed away, they're waiting right up to the evening. Then we find janaza has taken such a different form, partying that takes place, order the food, order this. Yes, those people that are musafirin and need something, you can feed them by all means. But to have a party of all the people near and dear ones here, seems like a celebration, the man is gone. As simple as possible should be our janazas, and as quick as possible, like Hatim Tahir Rahmatullah Al-Manj, that is conforming to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third place which needs rectification in our society is Tazweejul Bikr. To get a virgin lady married, you should hasten as far as this is concerned. Here also, if you go into the history of very second, third marriage, proposed 1 year ago, proposed 6 months ago, after 6 months the wedding will take place. What is the reason? The boy is ready, the girl is ready, the nikah parties are ready, the house is ready, there's no financial difficulty or constraints. No, we're waiting for so-and-so to come. Oh, we're waiting for so-and-so is going on for Hajj. When he comes, the nikah will take place. Here we are taught in other hadiths also that we must hasten when the time, two parties are ready, get them married and hasten. And these were the nikahs in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam nikah himself, Hazrat Safiya radiallahu anha, she was captive, came from war. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to her. There's no mention of delay of 5 days or 10 days, etc. Not even days. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, when the proposal came from Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, she was married. There isn't description there how many days they were, and a very simple marriage. So here what do we have? So many preparations before marriage. And nowadays the people, because of the wealth, is this party and Mendi party and that party and this party and that party. On one side we find people got no food to eat. One side means right here where we are sitting now. You can see it before our eyes. And places like Syria, Yemen, ask those people, Imdan, Rubik, Sita, when they go, what happens there? And on the other hand, extravagant and lavish weddings. And the delay. And what happens in the delay? These are such subjects that needs a day in its own. What happens in the delay? Everything that is not permissible in before nikah happens. They meet, they speak to each other, go around, then we find no barakat in the nikah. How can there be barakat when all those things that were haram are treated as halal and sanctioned by who? By the parents. She is proposed now, she can go, he can take her and take and go. Go out for the weekend, go here, go there. Islam does not allow this, and this is not our way, not the ways of the Muslims. So we should come back and see if we have daughters, first of all, get them married as quick as possible. And this is not something impossible. Just 2 weeks ago, I was informed about one of our students on a Monday that he's proposed on the weekend. Monday when I met him, I congratulated him, I said, Mubarak. The next week, he was married. The next week, he was married. He got married to also a daughter of my student. The student phoned me, he said, Mohan, I phoned him, I said, MashaAllah, very nice wedding, man, instant weddings. He said, yeah, we decided Sunday morning that the wedding must take place Sunday afternoon. So I went on Monday as usual, like I go, and I met my student. I said, Mubarak, Mubashir, Mubarak, Barakat to you, Allah Ta'ala give you Barakat. I asked him, when is the Widah, when is she coming? You know what is the answer? I don't know. Then he came the next day and he said, MashaAllah, she came home last night. Got married on Sunday, Monday she was home. And it was decided Sunday morning. So these weddings are even taking place now. MashaAllah, Ta'ala keep them happy and give them barakat in the weddings. And this is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The wedding with the greatest amount of barakat, the one with the least amount of inconvenience, least amount of expenditure. And these are the weddings. And when his father-in-law got married, it was similar. He got married on a Tuesday. Don't hear of weddings on a Tuesday, but it's permissible. Because wedding is a necessity, it's permissible on a Tuesday, on a Sunday, in any month, in any day of the year. He was also married suddenly on a Tuesday. MashaAllah, and all his, I think his son-in-laws are all ulama-i kiram, and his children also hafiza, etc. So this is the way to go, and this is what was taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must come away now. It's not our pride, or we don't get any extra izzat and respect in the eyes of the, maybe in the eyes of the people that misunderstand, but in the eyes of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most ideal nikah was the nikahs performed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of his own family. And that was a simple nikah. So when it comes to nikah and proposal, etc., we should not waste time. Should not waste time. There were also occasions, alhamdulillah, in some areas there were people that come just with a proposal and the nikah was performed. That is the ideal way. No delay whatsoever. Why? Because the proposal comes what? That in itself is evidence that the boy is ready. Otherwise, why would he send a proposal? And accepted means the girl is ready. So when the boy and the girl is ready, then who are we waiting for? All the others can carry on making dua throughout their lives for their happiness and make awlad, etc. These are the two most important people in the nikah. So that was the third thing that was mentioned here by Hatim Asam, rahmatullahi alayhi. The fourth thing that he mentions is qada'uddin. This is another subject and another topic. As the business people, they will tell you. It's mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The problem is we have restricted, many of us have restricted deen to namaz, zakat, salat, hajj, etc. The balance of the areas of life, we have divorced them from deen. Nothing to do with deen. Whereas our deen is such, it's a complete way of life. Every aspect of life is our deen. And we'll get reward and sawab if we carry it out in accordance with the command of Allah, shown to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qada'ud deen, to pay our debts. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks, seeks refuge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min al-maghram wal-ma'tham. Ma'tham means from sin. Maghram means from debt. He was asked, O Prophet of Allah, you seek refuge from maghram, from debt. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, because when a person is in debt, he is in debt, then fahaddasa wa kadhiba. Haddasa wa kadhiba. He speaks and he lies. Speaks and he lies. Wa wa'ada fa akhlafa. He makes promises and he breaks his promises. As the business people out there, they tell you, when a person is owing money, how much he lies, how much he breaks his promises. And sometimes people even deny the debt. We have gone so far that we even deny that we owe him. Do what you want to. Go to court. We won't pay you, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. You know, these are opportunities and occasions to get the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا سَمْحًا إِذَا بَعَ وَسَمْحًا إِذَا اشْتَرَى وَسَمْحًا إِذَا قَضَى وَسَمْحًا إِذَا اقْتَضَى. It's a lengthy hadith, we won't go to every aspect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving du'as. Today we want the du'as of every person. The last and the most common sentence is, remember me in your du'as. Don't forget me in your du'as. And the sentence that most of us or many people don't carry out. Why? You can't remember the names of 50 people or 100 people they told you make du'a for me. Easiest way is, oh Allah, all those that requested du'a for me, bless them in this world and the hereafter, give them the good of this world and give them the good of the hereafter and save them from the evil in this world and the hereafter. Inshallah, everybody will be shamil there and will be included in the persons that ask you for du'a. So the du'a of who? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In many hadiths, it's linked to actions. Some actions the person carries out, even after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will get the du'a of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that may Allah have mercy on that person. He is very gentle and very lenient when he sells his abah, and when he buys, and when he fulfills his debt. He's very lenient and very gentle and considerate. And when he claims, now this is all to do with buying and selling business, but the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for those people. That people are gentle, considerate, and lenient when it comes to paying. Due date comes, they pay on the due date. Time comes to demand the debt, also they are lenient. But they do not pay for genuine reasons, they are considerate. They give them time and they give them respite. So here is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for paying debts in proper time. One hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds us, see, these actions, all these actions, bad actions have consequences. We feel, 30 days, I told him, I'll put him for another 30 days. That's now, in our terminology, that person is a very good businessman. Why? Because he's making money out of the money of people's money. That person is hand to mouth. He's got nothing to go by. And he's waiting to get that money to pay his rental, to feed his children, etc. We promise him 30 days and we don't pay him. Say, no, business is bad. What can I do? That was not the condition whether your business will be good or bad. Going for Umrah, business is not bad. Buying a new car, business is not bad. But when it comes to pay and you're not paying, then business is bad. It's mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Matlul ghani zulmun. The person that's wealthy and procrastinates the payment of his debts, this is zulm and this is oppression. You are oppressing that person. You may be a five-time namazi, you may be going out in the path of Allah, you bear to a certain sheikh, you're making your tilawat, your ma'mulat, but by this action you are oppressing that person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that ittaqi da'wat al-mazloom fa'innahu laysa baynahu wa bayna Allah hijab. Save yourself from the baddu'a of the person that's oppressed. There is no veil between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we should understand properly, even if it is a non-Muslim, and if he's oppressed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. Now this person doesn't have to say anything. He just says, ah, from his heart, sigh of regret, hi, I cannot meet my debts because this man didn't pay me. I cannot feed my children because this man cannot pay me. I cannot pay my rental. That is enough now for us to become parishan. We're carrying out all the good actions, but the baddua of that person has come to me now. I'm giving zakat, I'm giving charity, I'm going out in the path of Allah. Why this parishani? Why this problems I have in my life? You're taking the baddua of that person. So we should pay our dues when it comes. One sahabi, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abi Hadrat radiallahu ta'ala anhu, owing a Jew, just four dirhams in today's context will be about 10 rand, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Jewish person complains, says that this person is owing me 4 dirhams, and every time I come to him, he overpowers me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam summons the sahabi. Who is it? One side is the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other side is that Jew, to show to us and to the ummah the importance of paying our debts in time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, give this man his dues. The sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes an oath. He says, I swear in the name of Allah, who has sent you with the haqq, O Prophet of Allah, I have nothing to pay him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs him for the second time. He swears an oath again. I swear by that being in whose control is my life, I have nothing to pay the sahabi. But I have told him that you will send us to Khaybar, and when I get the spoils of war, I will pay him from there. Otherwise, I have given him some hope that I want to pay him, and I will pay him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says him for the third time, pay this man his dues. For the third time. Who? A Yahudi. The sahabi radiallahu anhu mentioned, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say anything three times, that used to be final. This Yahudi, this person, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is mentioned, he barely had sufficient clothes on his body. He had one tehband, or a lungi you can call it, or a shawl you can call it, to cover his satr, and he had one turban. He says he took out the turban and he made it a lungi, and he took out the shawl and he sold it to his Jewish person for 4 dirhams. Barely any clothes on him. One says, as a Jew, to show the importance of paying your debts. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying his own sahabi three times. And this is what he does. And what happens? He says, while he is there, one old lady goes past and says, oh, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the matter? He explains to her. She immediately takes a shawl that she had and throws it to him and says, take the shawl. The madad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes when we fulfill our obligations. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a Bedouin comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he claims a debt. And he is very harsh with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, the Rasul of Allah, no greater personality can come on the face of the earth, and a Bedouin comes and he demands, and he is harsh with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I will plague you and harass you till you do not pay me. These people, the companions are there. Obviously the companions cannot see this. They say, oh, aren't you ashamed of yourself? Do you know who you are speaking to? He says, I am only claiming my right. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reprimands his companions, why are you not defending that person that has a right? Why are you feeling offended? He just came to ask for his right. Why are you not defending that person that has a right? Thereafter it mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says there is no good in a nation where a weak one of them cannot claim his rights without hesitation. There is no good in a nation like that, where a weak person cannot claim his rights. And some ahadith we understand also that we should intercede for such people. Today that also has become very rare in our society. Somebody comes to you to intercede for you. Certain person is not paying my dues. What do we say? I will make dua for you. I don't want to get involved in this. Some hadiths understand that intercede to Jaru. Allah Ta'ala will give you rewards for your intercession. If you intercede for that person that's weak and meek in the society. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thereafter, he asked for one sahabiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khula. And she comes, she's the wife of Hamza radiallahu anhu, and asks her, will you give me some dates, will you borrow me some dates? Rasulullah says, if she says, my parents will sacrifice upon you, she gives him the dates. Rasulullah pays this person, and pays him more, gives him more than what is due. This person becomes so pleased, and he says, that you have paid me in full, may Allah Ta'ala pay you in full. Who the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is tolerating this person's harsh demands. Some hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna li sahibil haqq," person who has right, he has a right. Person that has a right, he has a right to claim. Maqal, he has a right to claim. He has a right to. Why? Because he has a right. You owe him something, then he has the right to come and claim from you and speak to you. Another occasion, one person comes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had owed him about 25 kg of khajur, and he comes and demands from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells one sahabi to pay him. The sahabi pays him, and he pays him with inferior quality. That person rejects it. He's saying, are you rejecting it from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What does he say? He says, who is more worthy of practicing justice than the Rasul of Allah? It's mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes welled up with tears, and he said, he is right. Who is more worthy of practicing justice than myself? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again asked for some khajur, and the khajur is given to that person. And that occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, may that nation not be blessed. May that nation not be blessed that wherein a weak one of them cannot claim his rights from a person that's powerful. May that nation not be blessed. It's a baddua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to procrastinate when it comes to our deaths is not a command like it's in our terminology or in our context where we find, oh mashallah, this man making a lot of money, but he's owing so and so and so and so and so and so. So much of money he's owing him. And for owing them for months and he's not paying them. The last thing that Khatim Tai Rahmatullah mentioned here, we have less time, is Tawbatu Ba'd al-Dhamm. After a person commits a sin, make Tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make a deep resolve not to go back to that sin. And we should remember, no sin is too great than the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no place is restricted. No place and time is restricted to make Tawbah. Person makes Tawbah from the deep recesses of his heart. What is Tawbatu? Another more Tawbatun. When a person is ashamed and regretful of his actions, that is Tawbah. He says it without regret, that means he's not regretful of his actions. We regret what we have done. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and inshallah we should hasten for this. When we hasten to this, then the mercy of Allah hastens for that person. No matter what a great sinner he may be. There was a person by the name of Kifl, and he used to abuse the woman. There's one woman, they take loans from him and he should abuse them. And he put a price. Woman came with the funds, etc. And thereafter, she couldn't come up with the money, and he wanted to abuse her. She began to cry. She said, this was a deal between me and you acceded to this, you accepted this. Why are you crying now? She said, I never carried out such actions in my life. There were circumstances that were compelling me to do this. He said, go. It is mentioned he passed away that very night. It was written on his door, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven Kifl. His life he lived, but there when he repented sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala forgave him. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq that we rectify those areas of our life that need rectification, irrespective of who the speaker is or what he's speaking about. That, as they say, the cap fits me, then I must put it right and adjust my life. Then that is a good bayan. Otherwise, every bayan is a good bayan, but it doesn't benefit me in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.